Here we are, the end of Ecclesiastes. Kind of amazing to think on. It's been, well, however many weeks it's been. What I do know is that it has been just over 4 years that we've been doing the morning devotions. You know what has been accomplished in those 4 years? You've had opportunity to walk through 23 books of the Bible, various passages that were either just random or here or there, and be in God's Word multiple times during the week. What a blessing it's been to be able to connect in this way and to be able to hear God's word in this way. And what a wonderful opportunity to learn together and have our day founded and grounded in that word, right? So one thing though, next week we'll be taking a break. So no morning devotion this Friday, no morning devotions next week. We'll be back on Monday the 7th to start walking through the book of Romans. And so that should be a wonderful journey as well. Reminders that there are a lot of services available for you this coming weekend. Starting tomorrow, we have Maundy Thursday at both campuses in the evening. And then Friday, we'll have a Good Friday service at both our campuses in the evening. Now, if you would rather come in the morning at 11, you can do that at our Escondido campus. And then on Saturday, we will have an Easter vigil that will be a blend of two services. It'll be a service of light as we follow the light back into the sanctuary after Good Friday. And then also a remembrance of baptism. That'll be at our San Marcos campus. Again, 7 o'clock. All the evening services are 7 o'clock. And then joyous Easter morning on Sunday, regular service times, breakfast being served. Remember to bring flowers for the flower cross as we see that get filled and reminded of the beauty and life that God brings to us in the resurrection of Jesus. So we have all those things going on, and it's a good time of year to be together. If you haven't ever walked through those evening services before, I highly encourage you. Find a local church where you're at. Walk through each piece of this week before the crucifixion and after the crucifixion and into the resurrection. It is a beautiful narrative. It is a beautiful account, and to see the depths that Jesus walked into and the heights that he resurrected to. So let's pray. We'll get into the last few words of Ecclesiastes here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, another opportunity to walk into the work that you have already laid out for us to do, ways in which we can care for our neighbor, serve one another, and glorify you. We pray, Lord, that you guide us by your word and by your spirit, that you lead us in all things, that our eyes would be fixed upon you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, we're coming down to the end here. We're in chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. And the preacher is wrapping up. So here we go. Verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. That sounds a lot like a book we have in the Bible called Proverbs, right? Yeah. Okay. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. I love the heart that's here, right? He's saying, look, this was the intent, to find words that would be uplifting. Now, you just walk through Ecclesiastes. It's not extremely uplifting. Proverbs, though, more so. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's trying to hand down wisdom and knowledge and ways in which it is beneficial to walk through the world, not just a lament on how he sees things go under the sun, but wise ways to live, right? To be uplifting. And in that, when you hear, listen, my son. So he's trying to hand down this wisdom from generation to generation. Have you ever been in moments like that when someone who has walked through something before you takes the time to share with you the experience that they had walking through it so that you could learn from it? It's beautiful. Have you had opportunity to do that for someone else? I pray so, because the ears that are younger than our own want to know what it's like. As much as they may say they don't, they want to know what it's like to walk through things. They want to know what it's like to live in a house alone. They want to know what it's like to live in a house with a spouse. They want to know what it's like when the rooms start to be filled with children. They want to know what it's like when they try to have children and don't have, and it just doesn't work out. They want to know what it's like to get fired from a job. They want to know what it's like to serve in the military. They want to know what it's like to have a child get absolutely mad at you and storm out, and then to welcome them back in. They want to know what it's like to walk through hard situations. They want to know what it's like to know how to fix a building, to fix a light switch, to put oil in the car. They want to know what it's like to do any of those things. And that's what Solomon's trying to do for his sons, whether it's Rehoboam or any of the other ones that really don't listen to his word all that well. He's still trying to hand down the wisdom and knowledge that's given to him. I pray you get opportunity to do that. And if you're seeking some, I can point you to some at church. There's plenty of opportunity to hand down wisdom. I want to learn from you, right? But this moment where the teacher, the preacher, is saying, here's the heart of it. I want to hand down a good word that's uplifting. I want to let you know of the realness and the hardness of the experiences that we've walked through, but I also want to let you know where the beauty is at and where the good is at and how to walk through the world wisely and smartly, right? So, the preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. It's beautiful. Okay. The words of the wise are like goads, spears, cattle prods, things to push you along, right? The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. These sure and certain things that hold everything together, these words that prod us along and point us along and carry us along and encourage us along. I mean, that's what these words do. You know what that's like when there's those moments of just wishing there was a word that came into your ear that would give you some sort of hope and direction, like all of Scripture, right? When we're left in despair looking at everything under the sun and we're looking for a word that helps guide and lead, yeah, let's go to God's word. These words that are sure and certain, these words that are there from experience, these words that are there guided by the Holy Spirit, these words that are there that point us to the one who has done everything to carry us along, right? Oh, by the way, we're going to talk more about that. Let's see, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, yeah, and Easter. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. How many books out there are there to help you learn how to develop yourself? And help you know your inner self and to know who you really are? Have you ever read through those books? Ugh. They continue to point you into yourself, into a darker place of mystery to which there is no answer or end, and you leave feeling just as vacuous and empty as you did before you picked up the book. You might have some moment of realization for something, but really all it does is point you to the fact that you don't have everything under control. That's what the preacher's saying here. Of those kind of books, there is no end. It's a weariness of the flesh. People are going to write books upon books upon books upon books. And out of all those books, none of them have the weight of the one who's given by the shepherd. Here we go. You ready? Here's the summary of the entire book of Ecclesiastes. Here's the summary of the entire thought process. Verse 13. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. There you go. Fear God, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Well, first off, fear God. Yeah, he's bigger than us. We can't just by saying, and this is following Luther's words on this, we can't just by saying, oh, well, I know God and know that he wrote that book, therefore I'm above God. It'd be like saying, well, I know my teacher in 10th grade and the physics that he taught, so therefore I'm smarter than the teacher. No, it doesn't work that way, right? We're not above God by knowing these wisdom type things. We're not above God by learning from those who have come before us. We're not above God simply by knowing that God is the one who is there for us. no, it doesn't make him lesser than us. And so we fear God because he's outside of us. He's bigger than us. He's the one who carries all judgment. We honor God. We trust God because he's brought everything into order, laid everything out before us, right? It's not a broken creation that gives us a broken understanding of God. It's a broken creation that we lament over, knowing that a good God is going to do something about it and has done something about it to make it right and fix it. Okay? And fear God, keep his commandments. Well, I mean, life goes pretty darn well if you try to follow God's word. It doesn't get you into heaven, but life goes pretty well. But see, to keep commandments is actually broader than just follow the Ten Commandments. To keep his commandments is to listen to his words, to trust in what he says, to know that his words are true. So his words that call us sinners, well, we trust in that. We know that by experience. We see the brokenness under the sun and how everything leads to weariness and vanity. And we know that that's because of our own hand in the midst of things. And so we trust God's word and the fact that that's not the way it should be, but that's the way it is. Yet we also trust his word when he says, I've made a covenant with you to forgive you, to love you, to care for you, to redeem you, to make you my own. See, to keep his commandments, to listen to his teachings, to follow his word, that all comes under keep his commandments. To listen to everything that he teaches throughout scripture about you. You know what he teaches? You're broken. He's fixed you in Jesus to make you right before him so that you would know that you're loved by God, the Father. That's awesome. To know that we're loved by the creator of the whole world, to know that he has recreated our hearts to glorify him and take care of our neighbor, to serve him by serving our neighbor, to share his word to bring hope and light and life and forgiveness and all these other things that we don't find under the sun, right? Fear God, keep his commandments, trust in what he says. In all those words of scripture that are laid out, in all the wisdom that's been handed down from generation to generation, to see how it points to Jesus, that he is the author, he's the perfecter, he's the one that brings us to himself, right? There's the end of the matter. Okay, last verse here, verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Of course, ultimately, when Christ comes back and the judgment happens, but even in our day and age, right? I mean, how many times have you seen somebody do something completely terrible and you know that that's going to be sought out sooner or later, right? You see a coworker do something that gets a short-term gain, but you know what? In the end, the heart gets shown. Whether it's in words they say or words that are overheard or anything like that, you end up hearing about it. And we see it on the news all the time. And in real life, we find it out. It's not long before the deeds of man are known, whether good or evil, right? A judgment comes, sometimes in very simple ways, sometimes in heartbreaking ways. And sometimes we end up seeing more about ourselves when those judgments come upon us, about when our actions are judged. We can't judge people's eternity, not by any means, but we can certainly tell when things are good or evil, when they're helpful or not, when they're for selfish gain or for the good of others. Right? So there it is. That's the last verse of Ecclesiastes. I don't know where you want to go next. Oh, I know where we'll go next. We'll go to Romans next. But remember, God's word, that's the standard. That's what's there to point us to him and to show us how to take care of our neighbor, to know that we're forgiven, to know that in everything under the sun, there isn't anything that would bring more truth than trusting in the word that God has handed down to us and then shown to us in Jesus. And to trust in him, well, that brings a whole lot more joy than anything under the sun. All right, let's pray. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept us this night from all harm and danger, and pray that you would keep us this day also from sin and all evil, that all our doings in life would be pleasing to you. For into your hands we give of ourselves, bodies, souls, all things. Let your holy angel be with us, that the evil foe Satan may have no power over us. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Excuse me. And if you have any questions about the upcoming services this week, check out our e-news, watch the events on Facebook, and see when those times and places are. But I highly encourage you to take part in these beautiful services this Holy Week, all rolling into Easter. See you soon.